Let's talk a few minutes about what we talked about last week and this morning, just sort of tie it in, make sure we're all going the same direction. And if you have any questions we go along, feel free to ask. We're just here to grow together and learn. Last week we talked about two words that the Holy Spirit is doing now. And you can go out there and listen to it on the YouTube now. You can go and listen to it on your podcast or the website. And it was an intense Sunday morning. We went a long time. Had three or four people share visions afterwards. If the Lord leads you to, that'd be a good thing to go listen to. But we talked about two words, starting with an R, remantle and river. Remantle doesn't mean you didn't have a mantle. It means your mantle's growing or he's giving you another one. We use the example of 2 Kings chapter 2 of Elijah and Elisha. Elisha was following God. He was a prophet. He was not the number one prophet. He wasn't the prophet for the nation, but he was a prophet. Elijah was the prophet for the nation. And then Elijah knew that he was about to die, about to be taken home. That's a cool concept. We could talk more about it, but we're not going to do it today. I think there's a place we can be in the Spirit that we know when our time, that we have accomplished everything. Paul was this way. He knew when the end of his life was coming. And I think it was not just because he was in prison about to preach to Nero. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever studied history? Nero was evil. I mean, he lit his gardens with the skins of Christians that he persecuted. Burned them on fire. Can you imagine the smell? The dude was so demonic. You could go through and... But this was the guy Paul, we believe, was going to give the gospel because he knew it. You can see it in his writings. He knew he was going to give the gospel to the emperor. Can you imagine being Nero at the judgment seat of God? He cannot say no because the great apostle Paul gave him the gospel, not only just for his actions, but the gospel. I mean, your assignment is important. It may not seem as important to us as Apostle Paul's assignment, preaching to Nero, but your assignment's important. And anyway, he knew his time was coming. He said, I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. I have run my race. We can walk so closely to the Lord that we know our assignment's done and it's not the end. We're just shifting gears into a different place. And we get assignments in heaven. It talks about the great cloud of witnesses is looking on, cheering us on. I believe that they're doing more than just cheering us on. I don't have any proof of that. But I think there's a place where they're working behind the scenes to help their kids and grandkids and their friends and whatever. I don't even know what that looks like. That's just an intuition. But to finish this thing until the entire earth is the kingdom of Jesus. Until it's restored like the Garden of Eden. But he knew his time was up. And so Elijah did. And then Elisha, when Elijah was taken up into to the whirlwind with a chariot. That's a cool way to go. I'd like to die that way, wouldn't you? Oh man, look what's coming into... You know, I'm into the chariot, but you know, a Lamborghini Huracan? That would be really cool. Coming to my living room, and the doors go... And Jesus is driving. I may even be tempted to say, can I drive? Do you mind moving over? That would be awesome. And then you just take off and go to heaven, whatever happens. But anyway, Elijah went on. Elisha, the mantle was symbolic. It was a robe, basically, a cloak. Was symbolic, and it was passed to him. And he did twice the amount of miracles that Elijah did. Elijah did 7 major miracles. Elisha did 14. And I'm telling you, right now, you feel it as you just pray and as you rest. Do you feel there's a more energy than there's ever been? There's a little bit more clarity than there's ever been. There's more joy in life. He's remantling us for something. And it's ultimately the kingdom, but how that looks in details, I'm not totally sure, but it's going to happen. We hear the word. I want to give you, so we talk about remantling and river. We'll come back and review those a little bit. Two more words I want to give you today. They both start with an A. Last week I told you I like words, it's points that start with the same letter. It's usually just the Holy Spirit gives them to me, the remantling and river. I actually looked that up this week. I was like, what? I'm sure If I'd asked Tiffany, she could have told me, but I didn't think about asking her. But something that starts with the same lettering is called an alliteration. Is that how you pronounce it? Sort of, Southern Daltonian. But close enough, alliteration. So I have two more alliterations for you, two more words the Holy Spirit's doing, and we'll get to some of it today. If not, we'll pick it up next week. Awakening and an ark. And we talked about an ark last week. But this remantling is because He's awakening in us, I believe, gifts that have been there since you were conceived. It says in Ephesians 2:10, you were created beforehand, prepared beforehand for good works. Some of these you've known about it and they're growing in intensity. Some of them, they're just, wow, I didn't know that desire was there. And there are awakenings to show the love of Jesus to the world in whatever way, or the excellency of Jesus, or who Jesus is. I love this week, you saw it, I think I did it in Facebook. I don't do a lot on Facebook. I try to do emails and texts. People go, why don't you do Facebook? There's a lot of people who don't do Facebook. Plus, if you've got 500 friends and you haven't unfollowed 475 of them, did I just say that? There is no way something could come through your scroll and you never see it again. So sometimes I do it in Facebook. But the challenge is, if you don't stay up with it regularly, then it's hard to miss it. But how many of you saw the Facebook post? I know John did it. I know Jason did it, about the Path of Great Resistance. They did their first song. So that's cool. That is a creativity. That's an enlightenment. Now, if you love classical music, you will probably hate it. So it's not for you. But the creativity and the music is cool, and the Lord is showing things to that genre that like it, sort of the faith head rock, not quite as hard. But go out there and find it in the Facebook, or go to one of their feeds. It probably is a Path of Great Resistance page too, I guess, in there. It's also on Apple Music, and just go check it. They'll be adding songs to it. They were here yesterday practicing more songs. So, but that's what I'm talking about, the awakening. Wow, this is cool. He awakens something in us that awakens our soul and gets us excited, but it's an expansion of who we are instead of just enduring. Most of the time in life, we're enduring, and He's wanting us to enjoy. And it comes from walking with Him. Now, it's bigger than just us. Another word that you hear a lot if you do much Christian reading, one of them is kingdom that we were talking about. But another one is awakening. How many of you have heard those words? If you've been around Christianity any length of time, you've heard the word revival. Revival and awakening is different. So let me just teach on that just for a second so you know what I'm talking about when I say awakening. Now, an awakening for a region or a church, by definition, means we've awakened. So it has to start at the individual level to a certain degree. But it means we're awakened, and then it grows to the point that it affects the domain around us, whatever our domain is. Now, revivals, we've had a lot of revivals. One of the biggest that we've had, in the last 100 years is the Zuzu Street Revival that started in Wales. Revivals typically only last 3 to 4 years. The Zuzu Street was 4 years. Wales was 4 years. The Zuzu Street rebirth, basically speaking in tongues, baptism of the Holy Spirit. The bigger picture was the power of God. It's now estimated 1 out of 4 Christians have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, 500 million people around the world. That revival is still going around the world. But there have been others. Have you heard of the Brownsville Revival 20 years ago, I believe? Don't hold me to that. Maybe it wasn't 20 years ago. That was primarily about evangelism. The Toronto Revival was a reviving people. It's now been going on for 17 years out of Canada. And that was basically restoring, you know, joy in the Father's love in people. And there's been a lot of revivals. Revivals in the 50s of the healing revivals with Oral Roberts and Kenneth Hagin and other people. Those typically are 3 to 4 years. But an awakening, historically, we've only had 2 of them in the history of our country. And an awakening, this is the difference. We're not just, a revival is where people are changed. An awakening, it's often called a reformation. Awakening is where the people are changed, but it's also funneled into society, and society is changed too. And I believe we are getting closer and closer to a global awakening. I really, really do. Where it moves beyond a revival. The first awakening, if you're a history buff, was the first great awakening. It was 1730 to 1760. 30 years. That's the difference. Awakening lasts decades. The second great awakening was 1790 to 1840. 50 years. If you will notice, awakenings produce a change in society, and then where society refuses to be changed, if you look at it historically, they almost always end up in a war. Some of it's good, but the war is always good to produce change. The first one, 1730 to 1760, what happened less than two decades later? The Revolutionary War. 1790 to 1840, what happened roughly two decades later? The Civil War. Now, the Civil War was a terrible thing, but it righted some things that needed to be made right. Awakenings create a desire in us to live for God and to see righteousness birthed around us. So the Civil War was a terrible thing, but there were some injustices, and we all know what they were, that needed to be righted, and it gave us the courage to do that. Same with the Reformation. We talked about that last week. It created the 30-year war, and it basically opened the door for Western-style democracies and removed feudalism and monarchs. That's a whole other time. But this is happening. Now, I'm telling you, I believe this next great awakening, I do not know how far we are, but I can feel it moving. It's a global awakening. And if you've been here and listened to us long enough, you've heard many different people prophesying that. Not just an American awakening, like these first two were. These first two were an American awakening. They did not affect the rest of the world, at least not directly. I believe the youth is going to be a huge part of it. And we define youth as teenagers, but see, the Bible defines youth as anybody 30 and under. You became a man at 12 with a bar mitzvah, but you were not able to be a priest. You weren't fully mature till you were 30. And you see that pattern. That's why Jesus was 30 before he went into his ministry. So whatever definition is bigger than teens, it really doesn't matter. But it's going to be a major youth-oriented but he's awakening stuff in us now. How many of you are starting to... You've sensed the Holy Spirit moving like you've never sensed Him before. And so as we're doing it, He's doing two things. One is to bring our hearts first to Him. And then second, it's to bring His heart that we experience in His presence to the world. See, if we just bring His heart to the world without first experiencing His heart, it very quickly becomes religious with no power. But if we have experienced His heart directly, when we bring that to the world, we're bringing more than just truths and principles, we're bringing His presence. And that's that second word. Well, the first word was awakening that we're talking about today. The second word is an ark. The review sum from last week. The ark is an interesting word that we just really don't use in the English language. But it's used a lot in the Old Testament. And it's almost always a container for His presence. Where was His presence in the Old Testament? Well, once they rejected walking with Him directly, it was in the Holy of Holies. But you go back and look, He offered to meet with them directly without the tabernacle. And it scared them. Because they saw Moses up on the mountain with all these lightning bolts and clouds of thunder. And they go, you asking me to do that? And he did. They said, you can do the same thing as Moses. And it scared them to death. This probably would have scared me, I think. But you have to realize whatever he invites you to, it's not to kill you. It's an adventure. It's a growth opportunity. So whatever he asks you to do, there's this element, man, I was created for this. But at the same time, it scares me to death. Chad was telling this morning about, I never can remember names where I'm preaching. Ruby Jim, that's my nickname for her, jumping off a railroad trestle into the water. Was she the only one in the group, or did other people do it? You did it? Who? Max did it too? That's cool. Now, how many of you have done that? I did it when I was young enough to recover, okay? I don't do it anymore. I've not maintained the body or the form to do that. But you remember that lake at the Hartrump's house where we'd swing out? You're probably 20 feet up, aren't you? And you'd drop in their lake. It's fun, it's crud, but you better get it. When you're coming back, it's hard to get off that rope. That is fun to do, but there is this element. I want to do that. That's what I was created for. But when you're actually on the railroad trestle or at the end of the rope, y'all know what I'm talking about. It's like, what did I just sign up for? I remember when in my 20s, we used to go rappelling. Brian went with us up at Mount Yona. And it was probably 90 feet, 100 feet up. We went with some singles when we were over the singles in Augusta some and did trips up there. And, this is cool. Everybody's pumped. But then this is the hard part with rappelling. How many of you have ever rappelled? You'll know exactly what I'm talking about. A few of you. To me, the hardest part is where you're standing, you're looking down, 9 or 10 stories, where you had to lean back and get your body perpendicular to the wall. Or else you're going to go, bah, 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 bah. You know, your face is going to be hitting the wall all the way down instead of your feet. That was scary every time I did it. Once I got going, it was cool. But that leaning back, oh man, it never got easy. Except for Brian, he was fearless. Did that get you on that one? It's that first little thing, no matter how many times you did it. There was one guy up there. We don't know who he was. He was in the military. That's where Northwest Georgia School of Military would go and do their thing and practice. Probably other people. This guy was obviously in the military. He did Australian rappelling, which you go face first. I think you did that once or twice, didn't you? But now this guy was, if you don't have any fear, you're insane. That's what we said. We think you're mentally... You never really get rid of the fear. You just learn to push through it. There was a spiritual lesson. Get the spiritual lesson was going through this. There's always these times, even now, you know, not so much here because you guys are family, but if I'm overseas or it's a bigger crowd and the Lord says, forget your notes, just get up there and I'll show you what to do when you get up there. It's sort of like rappelling. You're going off the edge and you know he's going to show up, but it's still, I still have fear. But the difference is you learn to push through. But this, whoever this military guy, he did Australian, he went front, but you remember this? He would, I think that was a time up there, he would get at the back like 20 feet away from the edge. And he didn't have anybody belaying at the bottom. He was by himself. He was insane. And he would run and jump and scream like in victory as he's going down. That was insanity. Now, secretly, I wished I was like him. Did you see that guy? You remember that? If you can get there spiritually, more power to you. But if you have to back off slowly, just do it, okay? Just rappel and just go. And so that's where we are in the spirit. Many times when that river, remember that's one of those words, those rivers have come along. As we said last week, the river is not like a lake. It's flowing. And there's going to be things coming along, and it may be a fast river. You just got to jump in. And it's scary. And if we wait for our minds to catch up. Now, I'm assuming we're hearing from God, okay? It's not just some stray thought. You make sure it's the Lord. You hear the Lord. Then you just jump in. See, if you wait on that trestle, that 20, 30-foot trestle, whatever size that trestle was, till your mind fully comprehends and you understand and you think about jumping down and I can do this, get my feet the right way, the water's going to feel like this, and you got total confidence, you're probably going to be there a long time and you're going to miss it. You'll probably talk yourself out of it. But once you know that it's the Lord, okay, this is the river, you just got to jump in, and He likes it that way. There's Jesus standing beside the throne of God the Father. And he asks Corey to do something just outrageous. And it scares him to death. And he's standing there. And he finally decides, okay, I'm going to do this. And he goes and talks to somebody or writes this or tries something on the piano that's different. And it just, are they going to reject me? I don't care anymore. See, he's getting us to a place in our awakening where we don't care what other people think anymore. What he thinks is more important to us than what others think. And I can see Jesus, when Corey goes off and does it, he goes, look at that. Isn't that great? That is awesome. And they stand in heaven and clap and go, that's cool. He pushed through his courage and just did it. I'm telling you, they're cheering you on. The angels are liking it too. I imagine some things Corey's going to do. I'm just picking on you because you're on the front row. What about Jada? Let me pick on her some. There's going to be some things that he's going to ask Jada to do over the years, or maybe next week. And the angels are going, do you think she'll do it? I surely wouldn't do it. The angels are going, I've been before the throne room of God, and I ain't doing that. And the angels are taking bets behind the scenes. I put 10 on her that she'll do it, or she won't do it. And so that's the river. Let me talk about the ark for just a few minutes, and then we'll close and talk about it maybe again next week. We'll see. Who knows? But you got the Ark of the Covenant. They reduced his presence to the top of the Ark of the Covenant. That's where his presence was. The high priest could go in once a year. And so the ark represents his presence. Noah's Ark. Sean mentioned it earlier. You hear more and more in Christian literature, in Christian things, in Christian books, this is the days of Noah. You know, it does say at the end of times, although if you are a Bible scholar, you realize when he did that in Matthew 24, it says it's going to be like the days of Noah. It started then. The last days started 2,000 years ago. I mean, I can prove that biblically, theologically. It's not the last day, but the last day started 2,000 years ago. So don't get too worked up about it. We've been in it for 2,000 years. Okay? But the days of Noah and how bad it's going to get. Well, I don't really know what he meant then. But you look back over the last 2,000 years, there's been a lot of days a whole lot worse than what we're living in now. You were in the Middle Ages? My gosh. Some terrible stuff happened in the Middle Ages. You know, just in the last 100 years, World War I, World War II, what was it? World War II, 50 million people died? That was rough. And I'm sure maybe we have days like that again. But this is the point. In every last day, there is always an ark somewhere where we can run to for safety, fellowship, and comfort. I mean, maybe we lose our lives, but his presence is always available. We're talking about Nero. I'm telling you, many of those people that heard Jesus say the last days, you know, it's going to be great persecution, they were alive when Nero was hunting them down. This is the thing to do. God is building an ark now. I don't know what the future holds. But He is building an ark in us, around us, and in a community of believers. You're going to hear that a lot. And I believe this is a little ark that's floating. Okay? That if people want the presence of God, they can come in. And if bad days are happening, we're not going to be like the first ark when it started raining, which is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, that raining is the global awakening. People's going to be awakened and go, I don't want these ways anymore. And when they beat on the door of the ark, we're going to let them in this time. And they're going to experience the presence of God. And so he is building an ark in us to carry the presence, and an ark, once it gets strong enough in us, so that we can also carry his presence for others. That's cool, isn't it? And so he is remantling us for assignments, remantling us for his presence, teaching us how to flow in the river, because he doesn't always tell us things ahead of time, and my mind don't like that. There's always been some of that, but it's going to increase more and more and more. Let's pray. Father, we just love you.